Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling. We're nearly at the end of the road for Jukebox Jury for 2011. Just five to go. It's the big five. France, United Kingdom, Italy, Spain, Germany. Four shall fall. One shall stand. Will they win Eurovision? Will they win Jukebox Jury? Let's find out. And so our final Jukebox Jury of the 2011 Song Contest dawns. In between the daily updates from Dusseldorf, hopefully you're all catching them, www.escinsight.com, we still have a matter of rating the last five songs as a hit, a miss, or a maybe. Is it any clue to who is going to win the Eurovision? Well, we'll find out in a week and a day's time. But for now, we're going to have a little bit of fun. It's the big five. It's the one you've all been waiting for. And because I'm in Dusseldorf with the rest of the team, it's time to mix up the judges just a little bit. We know how staid and predictable our existing pool of judges can sometimes be, so we're going to give that a slight refresh and introduce two brand new judges to Jukebox Jury, but not Voices of the Podcast. You've already heard them, and let's start with our first judge. On pain of death, and to be honest, I quite like my life, so this was an easy pick, Charlene Wright.
Hello, Ewan.
From, I don't know, what website do you work for?
Look, I think it might be called ESC Insight.
There we go. Yes, Charlene, of course, finally from Australia. I think this is the first jukebox we've done.
This is the first jukebox we've done, and it's about bloody time, mate.
Well, you will live on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, the Skype connection's not that great.
No, we can do Skype occasionally, but Jukebox Jury is a rough and tumble world, and it needs eye contact and beer and someone of fine wit, of good fettle, with wonderful vocabulary. Donald's not available just now, and he's already been on the show. So instead, we have our second new judge and a returning voice of the podcast. You would have heard him on the daily shows this week. He's also probably one of the leading content providers, churning out a huge amount of on-message, factual, we're not going to upset any of the press people at Eurovision at all, Luke Fisher.
Good afternoon, evening, Ewan.
So, Luke, which one of those phrases that I just said was wrong?
All of them, apart from the fact that we churn out a lot of content.
So it's not informative.
No, it is informative.
That okay, so correct. Two things were right then, yep.
Yeah, it's informative, but we will blog as we see. We do not believe there are 43 fantastic songs and that everyone's going to win with equal score.
That's exactly what we want on a Jukebox Jury plan, which is why we've invited Luke along here. And at escdaily.com, of course, we have a little sidebar at the side on there from the Insight podcast. So for myself and the rest of the team, thank you very much for that.
That's okay.
And if you're listening to us because you've been here from ESC Daily, we're a wonderful compliment to the service. So you can read and listen to both of them. Right. Big five. Now, before we start the podcast, I want you to know, what order are we going to do these in? Can we get a good flow? Luke, you came up with the perfect suggestion, which was
performance order in the final.
Indeed. So that means, Charlene, who are we going to listen to first?
France.
It's Song New by
Amaury Vassili.
Luke also does foreign language pronunciation, which is a skill I am sadly lacking. So, France, first up. Luke, it's not that much of a departure from France to do something off the ball, is it?
No, we've had a lot of history of France doing something off the ball and going with regional dialect. They sent a song part in Corsican during the 90s. We've had a song in a couple of other dialects. And they have gone quite off the wall in recent years. I mean, to send a song like they did last year, to send Allez, Olé, Olé, was brave. It was very brave. And I think they didn't get rewarded as much as they should for it. But this is something completely different. No one has done popra at Eurovision. Latvia tried with Bonaparte, but this is real popra. We had the UK fail in the national final with it in 2005 it was. They tried a popra and it didn't get through. So this is really the first time it's being done, and I have a sneaking regard for this. Well, more than sneaking.
Yeah, it is an interesting one because we don't have any precedent of how pop rock can do. I mean, you can easily argue that it's not going to appeal to the younger generation that's coming in that we've brought in with Rebecca and Lena winning in the two previous years. But at the same time, if you look at the success of Paul Potts, especially on the main continent of Europe, there is a strong demand for this from certain quarters. The question is whether that's the same people
who watch Eurovision.
That watch Eurovision.
Are they tuning into Eurovision on a Saturday night, or are they going down to the theatre?
Well, I would argue that there is a very big crossover between the actual audiences. What we're looking at is, well, you know, a youngish audience watching your Saturday night X Factors and your Britain's Got Talent and Eurovision. It's the same time slot. You've got very similar audiences. I don't know whether it's across Europe, but certainly in Britain, where I imagine most of our votes are going to be picked up.
Do you think France, by not having a national final, by going straight to this choice, which the UK have also done as well, but I think France has certainly made a braver choice by going, we're going for this, it is different, we're not going to do a national final, we'll try and do one next year. Do you think that's served Amiri well, that he doesn't have to worry about getting through a national final to get to the stage at Eurovision?
Well, if he had gone through a national final, I would have to argue that he may not have made it through. But look, the song itself, like Luke, is actually I've got a very, very sneaking regard for this song. I think it's a classic, it's timeless, and I think it's going to appeal to a hell of a lot of people. I would say it's a huge hit from me.
Huge hit from Charlene. For me, it is a sort of, where is it going to go? We don't have precedent. I think with a national final, if he'd won a national final, there'd be a lot more confidence in going, some, you know, a group of people watching Eurovision like that. We still have that as a mystery. I'm going to have it as a maybe because we don't have the precedence. And I think that the precedence that we do have from Bonaparte is a bit weak. But also we've had Andrew Lloyd Webber 2 years ago, which proved that, you know, that sort of respect for the music can also rate quite highly. So for me, this is a maybe. It's very close to being a hit. But for me, I still remain to be convinced, which is why I have it down as a maybe.
My take on this is that we could be looking at a mini Alexander Rybak in the scoring when it comes to this, because France hasn't got to sing in a semi-final. This is something that if they get the staging right, and it's not the arrogant French, I'm better than you kind of thing, it will be 3 minutes of wow that the television public have not seen at all.
And it's obviously going to be a contrast no matter what goes around it.
Yeah, I think it's the novelty effect that no one has seen it. It would lose it. If this had to come through a semi, you would think, oh, it's this again. I quite liked that last time. The fact that this could be 3 minutes of wow and people will vote for it, we'll never hear of him again. It won't be a commercial hit unless we can get a disco remix of some sort. It will be a Molitva-type winner that just does it on the night and then goes away. But it could also sort of finish around eighth. I think it's one or t'other. It's not going to do really badly. So for me, it's a hit, but a sort of a low hit to a good hit.
Yeah, it's almost like Newcastle United. It could win, otherwise it's going to be sixth or seventh every year in the league.
Yeah, exactly that.
I'll bring up something else as well with this song. Potentially when I first heard this song, you do get a vision in your mind of what it looks like, what he looks like. He's a very good-looking man who's going to be standing up on stage, and I would admit that it's going to be a very striking performance. I have in my mind a picture of what it might look like. If it goes with this, I reckon it's a sure winner. And if it is very similar to the Bosnian act from 2009, a very Les Miserables kind of a feel to it, oh, it's going to get the votes.
Well, we actually know what the background is. It's a cloudy effect. Sort of, it's a very deep thing that is going to be behind, and I do think this is going to just do it fantastically. Matches.
It's certainly, no matter what it does, it's going to prove a great big talking point when we see it in dress and when we see it on the actual night as well. France, of course, doing a strong first go, two hits and a maybe on that one. Of course, one of the advantages of the Big Five is, as Luke said, you do get straight into the final. You can be a little bit more experimental. And Italy, of course, have come back to the contest this year. They've been given Big Five status. You may discuss the politics of why and wherefore they've got that. That's not for us just now. What it is now is for us to listen to the track and decide whether this from Raphael is a hit, a miss, or a maybe. Qui si vive così, day by day, night by night.
But someone hit me and I fell into your heart, my dear. And you fly over lands where your eyes can find the end. Up on mountains, down lanes, being so far away from you just makes me feel so
The Madness of Love, it's the only sort of jazz-infused number. I love the fact that I can picture in my mind Louis Armstrong doing that trumpet wah-wah solo, even though I know he's dead and he's not being on stage. First time I heard this, I just thought, that's good there. That's, again, that's a standout. That's different. But I think the song is a little bit weaker than France. I'm not convinced that this is a song that's going to attract people as strong as any other of the quirky numbers.
If you want to talk about classics and old fashioned, I mean, this is definitely one of those as well. But for France, I think that that's going to work for them because it's obviously popular in today's society. Whereas I'm not seeing a lot of younger people picking up your Harry Connick Juniors, for instance.
For me, this is a miss, a complete miss. I think Italy have come back. They're going with the Sanremo national selection, which is a good idea. But it was completely the wrong song.
And it was also a special section of
Eurovision. And I would imagine that a lot of artists said, I don't want to be considered for this section of it, you know, bigger names. Mm-hmm. The problem for me with this is it's just not going to be engaging in a television contest, I don't think. We do have a precedent for jazz. Roger Cicero, Germany in 2007, scored not very well on the public vote. But when they revealed the backup jury results, it came in the top 10. So it's a mixed precedent, but I'm still saying it's a miss.
And now we have to say, of course, this year it's 50% jury, 50% public, so there is that influence there as well. That's probably enough to give Italy a respectable result. And of course, if you want to be really evil, it's nice to see San Marino are back in as well. And probably Italy now looking at the San Marino entry go, can we have that? Can we swap? But that's not allowed. For me, I think it's going to be a miss as well. I think, you know, jazz, even out with of Eurovision, is very much an acquired taste. Even though technically it's wonderful and lots of people really love it, for other people, it's just a sound of screeching cats. When you look at where this is in the draw, we don't know what's going to be around it, but at the same time, it does scream, coffee break, go put the kettle on, oh, it's jazz, vroom, and it's gone. Miss.
Yeah, for me, it's a bit of a snooze fest, so I have to give it as a miss as well. So,
crashing the point here, just to remember, is, are jazz fans watching Eurovision on a Saturday night? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. I mean, Eurovision is accessible music. You know, really complicated stuff either doesn't get through or just looks on impressively. France has found that balance.
Yeah, France has found the balance. Italy, I think, it's just too specialist. It's not mainstream enough. France has maintained a bit of mainstream with the pop of the popera.
So there we go. There, then Italy crashes down. It may have returned and it may do a strong return to Eurovision, but for Jukebox Jury, it's sitting there with three misses. Right then, if you have any comments on any of the judges and the decisions that we've made here, www.escinsight.com. You'll also find us on Facebook and Twitter, and there's bound to be discussion points, especially on the next song. It's the United Kingdom. As we all know, the UK have actually put stop standing up. It's not like we're playing the national anthem, Luke. Jeez. Oh, you think you were American the way you were reacting there. Blue have come back to represent the UK. They've taken their comeback single and decided, you know what, let's put that into Eurovision. Written for them, not specifically for Eurovision. It's called I Can. Let's have a quick listen.
I'm not the first ones to be divided, oh. Won't be the last to be reunited, no.
So that was Blue with I Can, and I guess the reason why I'm here on the jury is because I'm not British and can actually give a real view on this.
Well,
song.
I'm Scottish.
You're British.
I'm never going to win that argument.
No. This song, for me, it's a potential winner of the whole entire Eurovision Song Contest. And this is me being honest. Blue have a huge following around Europe. And we can't deny that they're going to pick up a hell of a lot of votes from Western Europe, from fans. They're going to pick up a lot of votes from the juries on this one. It's a commercial-sounding song. It's going to be played on radios across Europe. And judging by the fan response as well, it's actually going very, very well.
Main question to that, Charlene, is if it's going to be played on radio around Europe, why haven't they managed to get it on air in the UK before they've come?
I shall jump in on that one. Luke, you're a keen follower of Eurovision. You know that the UK press has a certain, for want of a better term, xenophobic traits towards the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yeah, but I still argue, if it's a hit, if it's going to be a hit, they would still have played it, despite it being a Eurovision stigma attached.
My argument on that one would be that, for the most part, media is not going to pick up on a song until the week of Eurovision and after.
It's only been released this week in the UK. And at the same time, a lot of, certainly the commercial music stations, will play music that they know people want, that won't challenge people. If you play a Eurovision song on the radio, people go, why are you playing Eurovision? The general thing is, it's not going to be a winner. You know, it's like... is it Adele who's done like 27 yeah. million years at number one? You know, if she decided to sing the song, they meant, oh, she's a proven winner. We can do that. Blue are not a proven winner. But we're not judging why BBC Radio 1's airplay list haven't listed Blue. We're trying to work out what it's going to do around the rest of Europe. Because remember, UK can't vote on the UK song. For me, this has one clear advantage, which is it wasn't written for Eurovision. Forgetting about how they decided to do the revision in the press release, this was going to be Blue's comeback single. And then they decided to put it into Eurovision once it was down. Now, yes, they may well have tweaked it and such like, but the boys believe in this song. I think the key moment for me was last week when they were watching on the Paul O'Grady show, which is a chat show in the UK. As the pyro effect started, you could see Anthony, one of the band members, turn to the rest of the band and just smile and wink, as just to say, I'm completely comfortable, I'm really enjoying this. The guys believe in the song, and this is much like Dino Merlin. If you believe in the song, the performance really lifts it up. I don't think the song is as accessible on first listen as people who've been like us, who've been listening to it time and time again, think it is. I think it suffers there, but I think that their enthusiasm is going to push through.
Yeah, I'm torn. I'm Blue at the moment. Because of what we've seen them do around Europe when they've taken it on tour, you know, the Paul O'Grady performance is the best one they've done to date. They weren't good in Holland. Usually, and the RTE performance wasn't good either. When they've done it, usually one of them hasn't been firing on all cylinders. The Eurovision, they've only got to do it right twice, effectively. They've got to do it right in the jury rehearsal, and they've got to do it right in the final on the Saturday.
And arguably, it's got to be the jury one they get pitch right, and yeah. The live one is the TV right.
And I think they're more than capable of doing it right. I just worry that every so often they haven't done it right yet. The song, it's our best chance of winning since 1998. I don't think you can really argue that.
I can, Jessica Garlick, if she's got a later draw.
Okay, potentially, Jessica Garlick. Yeah, but really, this is the song. They do believe in it, and they have to believe in it, because this will be their career ending if they don't.
Yeah,
do this.
I mean, for Blue, I think if they got top five, they'd be quietly happy with that. The rest of Europe would realise that Blue are back, and that would kickstart the cruise, certainly in places like Italy, Spain and Germany, and I think we'll get a lot of votes coming from there. But at the same time, for me, I'm going to say hit, because I'm pretty sure that it can do top 10 and certainly top 5. There are variables in that performance. This is just a hit. It's like France for me is just a maybe. This is just a hit. It's four harmonies that have got to get right on the night with all the pressure around them, and while they're not going to have as much pressure as Safura had last year for Azerbaijan, they are going to have more pressure than the person singing after them before them, simply because it's for the UK. So for me, this is shading very tinily towards a hit, but not by much. Lee just needs to mention the war once and they lose the PR battle.
It's a hit from me.
Straight off. Look.
It's self-inflicted pressure, this one. Safura's pressure was from Azerbaijan on her. You are carrying the weight of a nation.
Yeah, under our bank balance.
Yeah. This is them. For me, I'm putting it in the top 10 from the off. Now we've got to just see what they do with it in the rehearsals and on the stage. I'm going for a high maybe.
A high maybe, just similar to my France maybe.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting because that puts the UK and France in a tie, two hits and a maybe, with two countries to go, Germany and Spain. Lena returns to the contest, the third winner to attempt to do a back-to-back. First one being in 1956, going to 57, finished second last. First one was 1957, going to 1958, finished second last. Let's see what precedence does to Taken by a Stranger.
You got some coffee on your collar, and you forgot to comb your hair. But I can wait till I do better. You're here, and I don't care.
That was Lena there for Germany, second year in a row for her, with Taken by a Stranger, which is a much different sound to what we got from Satellite last year. Satellite was the sort of the pop sound. This is very different. I don't know if anyone here saw Eurobeat the musical.
Oh, I remember. I actually saw it when it played the Edinburgh Festival, so it was one of the very early in the run.
Do you remember the German entry? It was strange. It was people sort of tapping boxes, and there was no words in it.
And they were just kind of moving around staccato on this stage. It was just sort of this strange sort of Kraftwerk electro pop.
Yeah.
German.
This German. Is it. German. This is it. And it's come to Eurovision.
Yeah, with a David Lynch video.
Yeah. So this is... I don't know. The German national final was horrific. There were sort of song after song after song without a tune.
It was almost like listening to side A and side B of an old long-playing record.
Yeah, and this was... This song stood out from the crowd, and it was good that this one... I wouldn't have wanted them to go with another Raab creation. That would have just been a bit iffy. I like it. And I think Europe, it's going to be in the Marmite camp. Either you like it and you vote for it, or you just think it's too weird. The lyrics are too bizarre. The bit about danger being a risky business is just...
That's straight out of a Jerry Bruckheimer music, yeah. Isn't it?
It's going to divide Europe, but I can see this with the goodwill to Germany of it being the host country, sneaking into the top 10. So for me, it's a maybe.
For me, I'm going to excuse myself from this one. Which means I'm going to take an average of your two results and add up simply not because I want to chicken out. I mean, for me, I think they should have sent push forward if they wanted to win. It's because I cannot get an official read in my mind on Lena. I just didn't see it coming last year. For me, she's like Spandau Ballet. I hate Spandau Ballet. I can see no appeal to the songs. And quite frankly, I would have every single one of their albums wiped off the earth. But people love them. And I cannot see why. In every song this year, I cannot understand why there's an appeal by some people. And the same with last year, apart from Lena's stuff. As an artist, I do not get her. The music, I cannot make any emotional connection, good or bad, to it. So I am going to officially excuse myself from rating on this one. And I can do that because I'm the host.
Well, you're going to get a rating from me because I've actually seen Spandau Ballet twice live, and I'm actually a fan. But
I've seen Duran Duran live more times than you.
Yes, that's true. But that's only
I don't remember either of these bands. I'm too young.
Yeah. Well, Duran are better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you agree, right? We've got
I
that on
tape. I agree with that, you see. But Tears for Fears were better than them. So, no, look, this is a... No, look, I would actually refer to that as an 80s-sounding song. I think it sounds very much like The Cure. It's got that sort of indie vibe to it. But there's a reason why indie is indie, and that's because it's generally not a chart success, and that's what I think of this song. I think it's just not immediately grabby kind of song. It's not commercial song. It really has no chorus that you can grab onto, which is really the loss of the song. It's an album filler sort of a song.
It's like... when you serve coffee at the end of an evening dinner party, which says, thank you very much for coming, please don't come back again for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it's amazing.
Whoever left that comment on a blog somewhere, I've lifted it. It was a fantastic comment. Thank you very much. Get in touch. We'll send you a free badge.
No, it's a maybe from me.
Well, that actually makes me averaging. You said maybe. Luke said maybe. So which means that my average score gives that a maybe as well. We have one left to go, and it is... Spain. Now, this is an intriguing one itself. It's a fantastic summer number. It's custom made for Ibiza, but Spain have sent stuff like that before and it has not made an impact at all. Let's see what we manage with this one. And look, I'm going to need some foreign pronunciation help here. It is...
Que me quitan lo bailao.
There we go, Spain's entry. Luke?
Que me quitan lo bailao.
Thank you very much. I like this song. It's probably the one that's had the most plays on my iTunes playlist when I go back and see the numbers. It's lovely, it's sing-along, it just sticks in my mind. But at the same time, Spanish songs have done that for me before. Specifically, 2 years... Was it?
Soraya.
Soraya, yeah. Great song. Listen to it. Still listen to it now. It just died at Eurovision. And I get exactly the same vibe off this one. It's great. It's wonderful. But it's disposable. And I think it's just so disposable that by the time you get to the recaps, even with this one running 22nd, it's left your head.
It's a nice little party anthem. And I'm getting much the same vibe off it as you, Ewan. It's a party vibe. It's nice. It's great to listen to at the end of it. I don't feel like I've achieved anything. I don't think there's anything there anymore. And for me, it's just a loss. It's not grabbing me, so I have to give it a miss.
Soraya, though, was kind of death by choreography, wasn't it?
That actually it was death by pretend magic.
Yeah, but on stage, it just looked ridiculous. I gather that it looked fantastic in the arena, but they just got it completely wrong on camera. Yeah, this is the only song this year where actually the performer doesn't like it either, because if you think back to the national final... She sang two songs, or three songs it was, and she wanted to sing another one.
Yeah, they had a big argument in the jury about it, didn't
they? Yeah, the jury voted for the other song. The jury picked the song that went through to the public vote, and she was pleading with the jury that she didn't like it. The host then asked the jury if they'd changed their minds. All we needed was Father Abraham to come on and just decide on the third song because he couldn't be bothered about
it's,
the whole
it's
thing.
The one in my line of sight. I choose this one. It's very nice, yes.
So, I mean, that's interesting because she obviously doesn't believe in it. Now, I want to see... Does that show when she sings it? Does it show that she doesn't want to be here and she doesn't believe in this song? Because you kind of, you know, as we've said about Dino Merlin and Blue, if you believe in it, it does add an oomph to it. And that's my concern with her. The reworked version has worked wonders for them. Spain have previous for this kind of song. Okay, Soraya, but Ramon, 2004, he did this and got in the top 10 with that kind of song. So I'm... It is a party. I know what you mean. You sort of watch it and you smile, and this is something Spain have gone back to doing what they're good at, not quite the best version of what they're good at.
But at the same time this year, we're not bereft of party songs. That's the thing about this year. There's so many dance tunes, so many party songs, so many feel-good songs, and I think that this one is the one that lacks any character or atmosphere. Or
if you like this kind of thing, it's great for you. But I wonder how
then
many...
We come back to almost the jazz question again, do you?
Yeah, I wonder how many Latino enthusiasts are sitting in on a Saturday night watching Eurovision.
I think Luke has a catchphrase if he ever comes back to Jukebox Jury. So, Luke, hit, miss, or maybe?
Oh, this is a tough one, actually. I'm going to go for miss, because I can't see it finishing higher than sort of 15th.
I wouldn't expect it to be in the bottom five.
I think that would be a good result for them. If they can escape the bottom five, I think they should look back and think that they've done well.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to go with my gut here. Although it's a great song, although it's nice and thematic at the same time, I'm a big Status Quo fan, and they're never going to make an impact in popular culture ever again until one of them dies and that we get to give a whole retrospective. So for me, I'm going to give it a maybe, just because I do like it, and part of me is allowed to judge personally, but in terms of the Eurovision rankings, I really don't see this going anywhere. I think it is out of the bottom five, but by how much... I don't think it matters.
I think it depends a lot here on what goes through from the semis.
Yeah, I mean, if they have a Jedward before them, then it gets interesting.
But not only that, what qualifies on the whole? If a couple of things go through that aren't very good from semi two because 10 have got to, for example, then suddenly it looks good for Spain. But if all the good songs go through, then you've suddenly got a load of songs that have already got votes in the bag, people like them already, up against one that she doesn't even like... And the public, you could argue, only voted for her in Spain out of sympathy.
If you're surrounded by a bunch of other party anthems, and it's the lacking one, it's not going to go anywhere.
Indeed. But Portugal's before it.
But we now have our results with a miss, and a maybe for Spain going backwards in order. Fifth out of the big five, thanks to our jukebox jury team. Here we have Italy. Spain take fourth, Germany take third, and we have a tie for first in France and UK. Which, I mean, if we go back and look at the bookies, overall, they're tying for the top positions of trading odds in many of the exchanges. It really does depend on you go. Traditionally, we have the question here, can they win Eurovision for the song that comes top in the jukebox jury? I'm not going to split them. But what I'm just going to do is we'll talk about both of them. First of all, do we think France can win?
Absolutely.
Yes. It's a definite for me. I think these are the two that we're looking at for potentially the top two anyway.
Yeah. And for me, I think France slightly edges when you look at when you put the two of them together. And I know that that contributes that I said hit for the UK and a maybe for France. But when you look at these two clinically next to each other, the whole appeal over Europe, if you had to do a head-to-head death match, I think that the song that is a song, no, there's I think there's enough people in Europe that go, oh, this is a song contest, and will, given that choice, side with France. So for me, I would join you all and say, yes, France could win. Now, at the same time, that means, do I think the UK can win? I think that the UK needs to get so much right to win that it's actually tougher for them to go.
I think if you hypothesise and say, okay, Europe is going to go for both of these songs, so we've got rid of the maybe for France. We've now said Europe's going for it and you put them together, then the French win it hands down. Just because, as I've said before, the novelty of it. Blue are coming out and doing what Blue do. You know what you're getting, but some people won't like them for that. France just could be fantastic.
But the thing for me is that France have the problem that if they don't go for an opera, if the audience don't go for an opera and don't vote for it, it's not going to be up there. And you've got Blue, which has got a commercial hit, and this is what, you know, Eurovision is really becoming about, is about finding commercial hits. We've got Alexander Riva, we've got Lena that have produced commercial hits.
But the question is whether, you know, that's a sea change for Eurovision and whether the public are ready to go with that. Arguably, Paul Potts' albums have sold far more than Blue in previous years.
Absolutely.
So, you know, your popper can be huge commercial hits. And, you know, Brian Kennedy, of course, didn't do very well for Ireland, but he's made a wonderful career out of that sort of stuff. So the choice here is do you send an all-or-nothing song or do you send a song that is consistently above average that might rise to it? You might like to say they would all rise to it. And for me, thank you. I've waited a whole show for that one, okay? For me, I think France have made a braver decision. And I think that it's an all-or-nothing. And the indications at the moment are that the public are accepting of the song. And if they're accepting of it, it has far more momentum than Blues. They're back again. For me, France has this probably by a neck.
I'm with you, Ewan. Too much has got to go right for Blue to get it on the night.
Yeah.
They've only got to get one. France has only got to get one voice in key. Blue have got to get four.
That's right. Potentially, if this is going to be the winner, it could walk away with it.
Good, cool. Call it head-to-head. France or UK, Charlene?
France.
3-0 to France. We'll call that the end of Jukebox Jury number 8 for 2011. It's the end of Jukebox Jury as a whole as well. So thank you to all the judges that have appeared on this run of Jukebox Jury. For those of you who've enjoyed the format, Ultimate Jukebox Jury will be back in June when we continue our quest to find the greatest song of Eurovision of all time from the winners and some of the best second and third places. But also now specific thanks to Charlene Wright.
Thank you, Ewan.
Of course, who is controlling me at www.escinsight.com and keeping under control in the press room. Luke over at ESC Daily, www.escdaily.com, has his own team that he is happily shepherding around.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you for coming along. Thank you all out there for listening as well. The Eurovision fun, of course, semi-final one is on Tuesday, handful of days away. Comments back on the website, on Twitter, on Facebook. We'll have our live commentary on Twitter, as we always do, twitter.com/Ewan and twitter.com/ESC Insight. But for now, we are going to cue
the guitars.
How long have you waited to say that, Luke?
Oh, about 6 months.